Okay, thank you for coming to my session. So good morning to everyone. My presentation is about a pilot project that we've been carrying out for the past 5 years at the B3C National Center of Excellence in the elimination of hepatitis B disparities in the API communities. I have no risk disclosure. Okay, the B3C is a national resource and expert center committed to elimination of hepatitis B among Asian American communities. As you know, that Asian American and Pacific Islands communities suffer disproportionately from hepatitis B, and its infection rate can range from 5 to 16%. Just imagine when you sit in a table in a Chinatown or a Korean town, 1 in 8 might have hepatitis B or is infected with hepatitis B virus. So we are one of the centers that was founded by CDC in 2007. As part of this program, we allocate at least 10% of our annual budget to fund grassroots community-based organizations to adopt some interventions to narrow the disparities of hepatitis B. So each grant ranges from 20 to 40,000. It's not a big sum of money, but it's like a seed money that we hope that will bear some fruit later in the community. And the project runs for 1 year time, and the purpose is to build a national network of organizations and agencies that are committed to address hepatitis B. And we also, as a B3C, we provide technical assistance and support to them in carrying out their project. Here is our large model. Briefly, we have four strategies to help community organizations build up their skills and capacities in their addressing the hepatitis B disparities in the longer run. Every spring we send out call for proposals. It's for community organization. We don't want long, lengthy proposals, and it's only 3-page single space proposal. And we have a technical conference course for them to tell them how to write a proposal for this grant. And we have a number of criteria. Basically, we want them to be compatible with our missions. We want them cultural and linguistic. Sensitive, and we also look at whether the project is sustainable beyond the 1 year funding period, and of course we want some other eligibilities. And we have already, although this is not a big grant, but we have a procedure, a very nice procedure to review these grant proposals. We've got a committee, review committee, composing of past grantees, board memberships, and other collision partners. Just a summary statistics for the past five years, we have funded, you see, for the first year we have 4 applications, because the first year we funded in July, and we need to get out the, we need to select the grantees by August. There was only a few weeks, so we only get 4, and we funded all of them. But from year one on, year 2 to year 5, we had quite decent number, over 20 and sometimes 30 applications from around the country, and we funded 3 to 6 grantees. And actually, we got 21 projects funded for the past 5 years, among which 19 were community-based organizations, and one academic in collaboration with community. And geographically, our grantees scattered around the country, from east to west coast, and sometimes in middle west, but mostly in the Asian American concentrated areas. Here is a picture of our funded project. You see the New York area, New York, New Jersey, and Massachusetts, and this east coast area is really has quite a number of funded projects. And on the east coast, mostly California, but we also have projects funded in Minnesota, and in Texas, and Georgia. So, the evaluation of this project, which I have been carrying out for the past year, we focused on the first 3 years funded projects. It's both a process evaluation, it's also impact evaluation. in terms of process validation, because we are in the process of carrying out this project. And in terms of impact evaluation, because some grantees have finished their project, because it's a one-year project. So it's a combination of process evaluation and impact evaluation. And we use the logic model to guide our evaluation. And for data collection, we collect both quantitative and qualitative. I designed an online survey and administered all their past grantees and asking about the impact of their project and some other things. And I also conducted telephone interviews to each grantees and see what are their problems and what are their impact of this project. Here are some findings. You see, 80% of all their funded projects indicated that their target population included those who were foreign-born, those with limited English proficiency, uninsured, and or low-income population. So these are always the population that is really hard to reach. They're always left out in the national policy or debate or national public health interventions. For example, the mole in the Minnesota area and or in the most county in California. And 70% of the grantees have a needs assessment component. I mean, they want to know what are the needs in the community and what are the assets in the community. And more than 80% of the grantees engage community members, or over 60% of them, you know, engage healthcare providers, or media, or other community-based community-based organizations. And to further illustrate our project, we funded basically four types of project: data collection, evidence-based activities, local system-level initiatives, and evaluation activities. And here, I just like give you just a sense. The five projects funded on data collection, needs assessments, asset mapping. And also five projects funded on evidence-based practices. Like basically, they do some interventions at their communities. And we also some system-level changes. For example, the Project HOPE, they launched a clinic to specifically target hepatitis B among Asian American populations in Houston area. And we also offer fundings to do evaluations for for example, in the San Francisco, they had a hepatitis B campaign. We provide funding to a scholar who, in collaboration with their community, to evaluate that campaign. And in terms of achievement, we in the evaluation, we found that the program has significantly increased their knowledge in terms of hepatitis B knowledge, awareness, and evaluation, and its community-based participatory research. And actually, many of our grantees, it is their first time to do a hepatitis B project, and they are really surprised to learn that hepatitis B is such a public health issue in their community, and they also increased their capacity and skill sets in terms of research or collaborations. They expanded the network and geographic reach. Almost every grantee said that they have established renewed contact with at least one outside organization. Almost 80% there they have reached to two or three organizations, and they increase their self efficacy when asked whether they are confident in carrying out another hepatitis B project. Almost universally, they say, okay, we are confident to do another project. And the challenges facing this project: first, the one-year time limit. We find that a one-year time limit is really hard to carry out a project that can be really sustainable for the future. Many grantees raised this issue. And a grant writing project evaluation, many of the grantees showed the concern that we need more skills to do grant writing and program evaluation. And networking with peer grantees, many raised that they are not less connected to their grantees because we are resource constrained. And some indicated lack of community support and lack of funding. Sustainability. Overall, we have achieved the goal of creating a network, a national network for community for addressing hepatitis B issues among Asian American population. And at the B Free Seed, we try to have an annual national summit. And we had one in the past 2 weeks, 2 weeks ago, and we had provided really nice workshops for the grantees, such as evaluation and researching, grant writing, and the evaluation for these workshops are really high, average over 4 out of 5. And we also help them to know how to disseminate their findings, and help them to find an external grant. And so far, I think the project runs well. And then, thank you.